Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, tonight, what a joy it is to be in your house. Indeed, we agree with King David that when he was asked to come into your house, the Bible says he said, "I was glad when I was called. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Indeed, we are glad. And we know our gladness, oh God, will culminate in a revelation and a mystery being unraveled unto us. And that you'll bless our time here tonight together. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name I pray. And somebody said, amen. Wow. Why don't you turn to one or two people, tell them, God bless you. It's good to see you tonight. And you may be seated. Tuesday night is church time. Tuesday night we come to Freeman Street, East La Penitence. It's like, some time ago people used to have oldies on Friday night. For us, Tuesday night is the time. Amen. I want to welcome all of you here tonight. I see my friend Anita from Sophia. Wow, it's good to see you, Anita. This is where I stay. This is me house. It's good to have you come see me here. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. I want to continue preaching about tithing. Continue preaching about giving a tenth of your increase to God. Hey, is that Bas, my wife? Or that's my wife. Today you gotta give big offering. Otherwise, offering from Sunday, offering from Tuesday. You gotta combine the two. First offering, second offering, project offering. All of them offerings. Cathedral offering too. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible says that, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." It's a very, very encouraging word from the Lord to say that he does not change. Whatever he has said, he will do. And therefore, we, the sons of Jacob, we, his people, we Christians, we are not consumed. Nothing can take us away. Nothing can overwhelm and overtake us. He goes on to say in verse 7, that even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. And he says, "Return unto me." Clive, are you there? "Return unto me, and I will return." What's on you? "And I will return unto you." What's on you? It's somewhere. Okay. "And I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return?" In what thing are you trying to tell us to return? Sometimes, you know, you say things and people don't understand exactly what you mean. So the people are saying, you are saying we should return. We are here with you. We are still your people. We should return where? It's just like Nicodemus said, "How can a big man like me, you tell me I should be born again? How can it happen? How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born?" You have to break this thing, the born again thing, down to me. And that is the reason why many, many Christians, even many, many people, do not understand the concept of born again. Because Nicodemus, who was even a church guy, did not even understand what Jesus was trying to say. So how much more you and I, who our lineage is idolatry. Our lineage, our ancestors were idol worshippers. We used to worship stones and trees and rivers and all kinds of things. So when we come into God and God is telling us something, we need to seek clarification. Are you with me? So he said, you wherein shall we return? And he goes to verse 8. He says, will a man rob God? So you want, okay, so you want me to explain a thing to you? Okay, let me explain to you. Then he starts by asking a question. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. I mean, it's like, can you believe that a human being is trying to steal from God? I mean, you have to be very, very powerful to steal from God. And even that, you see, is not understood, because the question is, where is God? Where is his money? When was the last time God saw me going into his bank account? I mean, who gave me? I mean, I don't even know what money, how much God, I mean, again, it's like, break it down. Break it down. So he said, wherein? Yet have you robbed me? But I said, wherein have you robbed thee? And then he says, you want me to tell you? It's in tithes and in offerings. God is saying, it's not that I have an account that you have come in. It's not like I left my bank pass somewhere and you got it and you were able to crack my PIN code. No, that's not what I'm saying. The tithe, the 10% of your salary, the 10% of your increase and the offerings that you are supposed to give when you come to church, that is in, it is in those things that you have robbed me. So just in case you are wondering, and you know, you're like the Jews in those days, and you are wondering, why and how can I rob God? Then God is making it very, very simple. He's saying that it is in tithes and offerings. And like we know, a tithe is a tithe means a tenth. And God requires us to give a tenth of our increase to him when that increase comes. So God expects you and I to do that in offerings, in tithes. As a Christian, that's how we must live our life. Is it depending on what you are part of? You do the things according to the things you are part of. When you're a politician, you know what you must do. Isn't it? Yeah. If you're a student, you know what you have to do. Like how, for all these years, you see, I say it, and you can challenge it. It's my personal opinion that the previous government, even though we say they are corrupt, it was intentional. Yeah. It was very, very intentional. They created an opening to help themselves and their people. Oh, cry. You go around anywhere that you can find any corrupt practices, you will see that many people of a certain race benefited or are still benefiting from things. Yeah. Look at how somebody can pay himself 28.7 million. I mean, a company that you don't have financial systems in place, that the deputy CEO can just give himself millions of dollars. So it's like the money is not going through no HR, no finance person. There's no approval. There's no reason. There's no justification. It's like you can just take. But these people, they are not fools. Roger Lanchin is one of the brilliant doctors around. Yeah. But the brilliancy was to create loopholes so that we can use that all the time to be in power and to win an election. So if you're also a Christian, you must do what you're supposed to do. Yeah. I was talking to our pastors in Suriname the last couple of days. We've been talking. And they're telling me how Suriname is, you know, inflation is really recession and things are really catching up with them. And I was telling them that. I said, don't worry. There's a reason. The US dollar, the exchange rate to the of the Suriname dollar to the US dollar has doubled in the last couple of months. Inflation, big time. It was three something. It was three something. Now it's eight. Yeah. So everybody's crying, everybody's complaining. But what I told them is that somebody wants somebody out of power. That's what it is. Because the president of Suriname is a convicted criminal in Holland. The Dutch people are looking for him. So because he's a president and all that, he has amended some constitution and laws to keep him around, you know, some amnesty, all kinds of things he's trying to do to stay in power and to stay there. That's why his son, when he traveled to Panama, the Americans picked him up. His son is in jail in America now. So he is the next one. But because he has made laws around him that is difficult for his own people to even do anything against him, now some powers from somewhere are pulling some strongholds down. They will change his economy. That's what they did to Bernam. That's why even hydro, even though he had wanted to do hydro electric something for us, he wasn't able to do it. They pull you down for you to know that power is somewhere. Yeah. Now, if you are into this, those are the things you do. If you're a Christian, one of the main things you do is to honor God, to be faithful to God, and to pay your tithe, and to give offerings. Offerings is part of Christianity. Tithe is part of Christianity. So when people come to church, and then they complain about money, and they say, this is money. The pastor is talking about money. Let's say if you are here, he said, why is that? I thought I was coming to hear something about breakthrough and miracles. And fun. This is miracle and this is breakthrough. Yeah. This is breakthrough. This is real breakthrough. Yeah. Let's continue to read. I'll show you as we go. We'll continue. He says, you are cursed with a curse. And this curse, it's not coming from your mother. It's not coming from your father. It's not coming from your classmate or your friend or your neighbor. This curse is coming from Almighty God Himself. Thompson. So you can understand the magnitude of the darkness and the struggles and the punishment and the suffering or the sufferation and all the things that you will go through if God curses you. I was discussing with some friends the other day. They always are concerned about how the black man is, how the black continent, how Africa, how these two people, it's even affected Christianity. All kinds of things. And one of them posted one of these quiet times that Bishop shares every day. And he spoke about the curse of Ham. When I saw it, I was very excited. But I kept quiet. And then somebody raised the topic that, is this really the cause of the black man's problem? And then myself came. And then one guy was saying, in fact, it has to be because when you analyze it, there is no reason why the black race should be going through what it's going through. I tell you, these white people, they don't have anything in their country. They don't have gold. They don't have timber. They don't have diamond. They don't have anything. All they have is water and cold. But they have been able to create something that you and I want to go into. It's amazing. When you just dig the ground, you get money. In fact, you don't have to work. You just have to dig the ground. And you'll be okay.
The place is so cold. Hardly do you get things growing. But we are here, we organize potatoes from Holland. It comes in big sacks, containers. We are eating carrots, chemicalized carrots. And that's what we do. Meanwhile, we have the earth and the soil that is supposed to feed. They don't have anything, friends. Holland, all they have is milk, cheese, and flowers. Tulips. They have cow. That's for queer. They have a lot of queer. And milk. And cheese. And naked women. Yeah? One of the things that make people go to Holland a lot is to see the naked women. Red light district. Because people can't believe it. That a woman will stand in a glass with her panties and her brassiere looking for somebody to do something with. She. You see, when you go there, you see Chinese, these short people, they come with cameras. They can't believe it. They come and take pictures like that. It brings a lot of people to the country. It's tourism. When we say birds, people should come and watch birds. You can't watch toucan. And what? Where's Joshua? Joshua was teaching me about some bird the other day. And so, Joshua, what's the name of the bird you're telling me? Some bird you're telling me the other day when you're going to school. Some other bird. Falcon. I shouldn't bother with you, right? That's some bird you was telling me that day. Chicken is also a bird. A bird who hardly flies. But these days, it's even difficult for them to actually walk, not to even fly. Fertilizer flying. It says, you are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And he goes on to say that, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So you are talking about windows of heaven that opens to those who tithe. So if you don't tithe, there's a certain closure over your life. I don't know if you're following me. If you don't tithe, if you don't give offerings, there is what you call the windows of heaven. It is closed. So you are walking in Georgetown, smiling if you can, dress up if that is what you do. But unknowing to you, there is some kind of closure, something that actually opens for God's provision and God's God's gifts and God, the things that God gives to come to you, that door is shut. So when you get money, you can see it. When you get money, you can see it, of course. You can see it in spending. At the end of the month, you realize that all the money is gone. And then you ask yourself, where has this money gone to? Or better, where has this money gone to? The money is gone because there is a certain closure over your life. You must punish. Somebody was asking me, the same thing somebody was asking me the other day. They were asking for my advice, what to do because their money, this. I said, do you pay tithe? He said, no. I said, that's your mistake. You must pay tithe. I said, you don't need prayer. I can't waste my prayer on you. Even if I pray, God will not listen to the prayer. Because this problem is not a prayer problem. This problem is an action problem. You have to act. Like the Bible says, when you are a young man, you should flee fornication. He doesn't say,
stand and pray. Say the 23rd Psalm. No, he said, when it comes to fornication, you have to run. So there are things you don't pray about. There are things you act. Action. You must put something into place. So when it comes to your money and you don't see your way and this and that and that, the best thing to do if you don't pay tithe is to start paying tithe. So we are looking at why people don't pay tithe. The reason is that they have bad thoughts. Because to really not obey God, to really not accept God's word, to really not do what God is asking us to do, in fact, to really understand that you are cursed and you still don't want to listen to it, then your mindset and what is your mind is a very, very bad thing.
Show me, but you don't understand. That's what I'm saying.
So people have bad thoughts. That's why they don't pay tithe. And one of the thoughts of one of the bad thoughts is that I earn too little. Forgetting that it is God who takes little and makes it big. There's a lady we call the Shunammite woman in our church. She can tell you. She says she has a bucket that she puts rice inside. A bucket. So anytime she wants to cook rice, she opens her bucket. How many of us have buckets in your house with rice inside? Hey, so is everybody does that? Okay, so I should also get a bucket and put rice inside in my house. It's a good sign of something. Rice bucket. She says now and then she'll go inside, she open her bucket and there's no rice. And he says she will lay her hands on the bucket and then call upon the God of Israel, the God of heaven, and say, God, if you is a God, if you is me God, if you is Elijah God, the God I call upon you tonight, let this bucket be filled with rice. She say from nowhere, she doesn't understand how, but the bucket gets filled with rice. Yeah. Yeah, she's been sharing testimonies in the church. Yeah. It's God who is able to make small things become big. So when you say you don't earn a lot, what do you mean by that? Who will actually help you to earn something extra? Is it your boss man? Your cousin? It is God. So when you now dealing with God, you're trying to do that, then your mindset, you have a very bad thought. What is going on in your head is not a good thing. Number two. What was the second one I gave you? You say you are broke. Everybody's broke. It is not a good enough excuse to not pay tithe. It's a bad thought not to pay tithe. What's number three? I have a lot of debts, so I cannot pay tithes. I have a lot of debts, so I cannot pay tithes. Courts, singers, lucky dollar. Unlucky dollar. How do they call it lucky dollar? It's not a lucky dollar. That dollar is not lucky at all. It's a lucky dollar. Which part of it is lucky? It helps people to
get equipment.
It helps people to. So the dollar they are giving to them is a lucky one.
Yeah. It's lucky.
I don't understand.
I would say it's lucky because they help people to furnish their homes, so that's why they call it lucky dollar.
I hope they don't come back and pick up the thing from the house, because luck—that's how luck is. Luck is two-way, right? The luck is a comme ci comme ça. Blessing is better, because blessing is secured. When you are blessed, who God bless? I say, who God blesses? But who lucky dollar luckies?
It gone burn out. Yeah. I have a lot of debts, so I cannot pay tithes. Again, a parable is spoken of a rich man who had people who owed him money. Enough people. I'm sure. And they were struggling to pay. I wonder, he called them and he said, you know what? Your debts are written off. Do you believe in the power of the power to write off debts? Do you believe in that? Do you believe that God is able to write off your debts? Hey. If you don't believe, that's when you will not pay tithe. You see, because there are some debts, eh? If God doesn't pay for you, you'll be inside. I tell you. Because if you look up, your help doesn't come from above. If you look down, there's no help. If you look right, there's no help. If you look left, there's no help. Your help comes from a certain grace to write off the debts, whether by supernatural provision or by the computer jamming. It's a way. It's true. You see, one day I went to Ghana, and I was coming, I did a transit in Europe, in Amsterdam. And when I got to the Amsterdam airport, I was going through passport control. Then the immigration officer took my passport like they normally do. They ran it through a scanner. So he ran through a scanner. Normally it's a little faster. The white people, their system is fast. So he ran through a scanner. And he was not appearing to give me back my passport. So at the point, he told me to stand on the side. I said, hey, what's this? So he signaled another immigration officer who was in an office. And they had one or two people also sitting there, travelers who were also sitting there. So he called him to come, and then he told him something. They gave my passport to him. And then that immigration officer asked me to follow him. I said, hey, I mean, what's this? So he asked me to sit down. Went, into the office. There was a counter, so he went behind the counter. And then he scanned my passport again, and he printed something. And he called me. And he showed me a bill. I think it was about 80 or 90 euros. He said, I owe. I said, what do you mean by I owe? He said, I was driving faster in a particular area, and they sent me a bill in 2007, and I have not paid a bill. So he said, I either pay it now or they're locking me up. I said, 2007? I said, check your computer. I left this country in 2005. It cannot be me. I cannot be driving on the streets of Holland in 2007. I left this country in 2005, in February. He said, is that not your name? I said, yes. Is that not your driving license number? I said, yes. He said, well, you pay or we'll lock you up. Now, God be so good, that trip, when I was coming, I just had a feeling not to spend all my money or give all my money away. Normally, when you travel like that, you know, you go, you see Pastor Keith and Cody are there. They look so hungry. So you give them you give them money. You see Conetta, her lips are cracked, very dry. Give her some $50. And then you ask, you know what? But okay, let me just, because you are coming back, so you don't really need money. But that particular trip, I just had this feeling that I should keep $100 at least in my on me. So I kept this nice $100 in my purse. That was my savior. That was my redeemer. That's what lifted me from the miry clay. I tell you. Hey! That was my lucky dollar. That was a blessed dollar, I tell you. My friend had come to pick me up from the airport. So he was outside waiting. I mean, everybody from the flight had gone out. My bag was on the carousel going around. There, they don't take your bag off like when you get there. People are taking your bag off. Your bag goes, it even tells the people that, there's something wrong here. Somebody, then they even take it somewhere and they look out for who is this. To even question you, how come your bag has been going on, running on this carousel for all this while? They don't take it and put it somewhere. No. The people are sitting there watching you. So God being so good, I managed to pay. If I didn't have money, then now I have to see, am I entitled to a call? Can I call somebody? Would they even answer the phone call? And I paid. So when I came out, then I asked my kid brother, I said, Charlie, did you use my details to tell some police when they arrested you or something? He said, yeah. I said, bring back my money now. He was driving and the police stopped you and they gave them my details because I was not in the country. So I was trying to outsmart them, not knowing that I was the one who got arrested 2 years later at the airport. They said, 2007, 2 years, 2009 story I'm talking to you about. I think it was one of those maturity camps I went to. 2 years, the thing was waiting for me in the computer. They said, don't worry. One day, wait for him. Yeah. I was surprised. I was shocked. You see, those things, it takes God to erase it for you. If God does not erase your debt, it will be sitting down there waiting for you and looking at you. So don't say that, I owe. Who will help you out of debt? You think about it. Who on earth will say, Roberto Ned, you're a nice guy. This 500,000? Don't worry. Don't worry, pay. We finished with you. God bless you. Next time, come again. It takes some supernatural influence for something that you rightfully owe to be taken off the record. And I've heard story after story of people who owed in these kind of developed countries, and they called in to they went in to pay. They checked the computer. They said, you don't owe us anything. They said, are you sure? I just said, oh, no, there's nothing in the system. It's almost as if there's something wrong. You are not correct. Why are you coming to pay something that there's nothing for you to pay? Then you will go back and say, you know what? God is a good God. Because your name has disappeared from the machine. I tell you. It happens even here sometimes. Sometimes you don't have money in your account. And then when you go, money is in your account. Then sometimes you're afraid. Then maybe somebody made a mistake. Okay, you know what? Let me just drop this 10,000 and wait and see. And then you pull a 10,000. And then you are there. It's God who dropped money from heaven into my account. It happens. Yeah, that's a lucky dollar. You can go back and say, if you make the mistake, you can go back even to the tellers and say, you know what? I want to inquire about the transaction. I received this 30,000 in my account, but I don't know where it came from. Can you check for me? So, we don't have any record of anything. So, are you sure? Heaven has smiled on you. I said, heaven has smiled on you. Now, you cannot receive such miraculous supernatural breakthroughs if you are going to look at your debt and then think that God's money is expendable. You see, there's nothing like when you feel that you are expendable. What I mean is that it's that you are useless. You can be given to anything. You are like the black sheep. If anybody has to die, you are the one who should die. If something has to, get lost or missing, your thing should get lost or get missing. It's not a nice feeling. When you are the one who seem to always have to lose something, others have to, they will have to keep it. You are the one who is losing something all the time. Anytime there's an accident, there's a bad story, there's an evil report, it is you. It's not a very nice place to be at. So that is what we are trying to make God's tithe look like. It's like, as for this one tenth, it can go anytime, it can go anywhere. Once GPL is coming, it must go to GPL. Once GTNT is coming, it must go there. Once my neighbor cursing me and hollering upon my name early in the morning and disturbing me on a Sunday morning, it gotta go to the neighbor. It's like God's 10% is expendable. So we come with excuses so that holy, that sacred, that divine, that special part, a time that belongs to God, it's not respected anymore. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you tonight that it's only a bad thought that will make you say that you owe and therefore you not pay tithe. Because God has the power to pay your debt. He will pay all the debts. Jesus paid our spiritual debts. A debt that you think about it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. How could you and I, how could we have, you know, that shall not kill. How could we have debts are paid? how can you pay? Do you even know what currency pays sin? Do you know how to pay the debt of sin? Why do you do that transaction? Which bank? Western Union or Eastern Union or Northern Union? Which union? Which gram or kilogram? Which? There's no procedure for you to be able to pay your sinful debts and my sinful debt. There's no way. There's no process. There's no procedure. How can your debts be paid? There's no way. Even the way to pay it off, we can't find a way. God had to do that for us. So it's only God who can do it. He paid a debt that he didn't owe. And he can do that same thing for you. If only you will not make an excuse about what you don't have and what you are missing and what you are short of and what you can't afford, but just honor and see God that if I give this one tenth, even in my dying moments, he'll come through for me. That's why he told the Israelites, he said, I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, I'm the same today, and I'm going to be the same forever. I have been faithful with those you read about. I've been faithful with those you don't even know. And I'll be faithful with you too. If you trust and rely on me. All you have to do is believe and pay. And let some good thoughts come into your mind. I see you honoring God in your tithe and your offerings. Let me close with this. When Bishop started sending us around. Anytime a lighthouse pastor moves to a country, he you should know that he has been sent about 10 times before. Oh yeah, you never, I don't know who on record went the first time they were sent. What I mean is that when Bishop tells a pastor, leave here and go there, it never happens once. It's sometimes like the faith, go here, go. That's the one that works. So we were sent to, the first place we were sent to was where? I don't remember. Was Germany. It was Germany. You want Germany? Yeah. It was Germany before. We were sent to, I think, Cologne also. Bishop said, I should move from Holland and go to Cologne, Germany. It didn't materialize. I wanted to go. But somehow, it didn't. They said, I should go to Berlin. East Germany. So I went to Berlin. I went there. I went to look around. I saw the wall that divided East and West Germany. I saw Hitler and these people. Oh, the war and the effects of the war. I saw all of that. I was prepared to go, but somehow I couldn't. The bishop said, I should go to Spain. Go to Barcelona. Go and look at Lionel Messi play football. I said, no problem, Bishop. That one too, it didn't happen. Then he said, I should come to Suriname. But Curaçao came in, right? Suriname. And then, I think it was my wife who said, oh, but Suriname is a village. No. So, we didn't move. And then Curaçao, I've forgotten that one. That one too didn't materialize. Then 2003, he said I should go to Jamaica. So when I was leaving Accra, homecoming 2003, I was a missionary to Jamaica. Before I could say Jack Robinson, somebody had gone. I heard somebody had come from London, some Pastor David or something. Hey! I was there. Waiting. You know what? I had a very nice job. And I like my job. How many of us like your jobs? Friends, you like your job? Ashana, you like your job? Hey, okay. I know why you like your job. But I was a boss at my workplace, so you gotta like it. Yeah. I had incentives and all of that. And of course, it makes you feel nice, so you do big things that you cannot afford. Because when it gets to your head that you are big, then your eyes are blinded from not spending money as you are thinking. Because sometimes you feel you are big, never you spend big, not knowing that you don't have that capacity to spend. So you become poor, or you end up owing. So I owed a lot of money. But I owed before my wife came to be with me. So I thought that she would have helped me kill the debt, but she didn't help me kill it. So even though she came after many years, I still owed money. Now today, when I sit down and I look back at her salary and my salary, I can't believe why we were in debt. Because it was a lot of money together. I can't believe. How can we receive so much salary and yet every month you have to pay something? So my boss told me that my department was small. So he wants to add more people and more processes so that my department will become big. So I'll feel more bigger and nice. I said, why not? I said, God is answering my prayer. Because I had some credit card debts that Bishop said go to Jamaica. When I look at the bank account, I say, hey, how can I run away? If I get to the airport and they say, where are you going? What do I say? So I said, no, I have to pay this debt before I can leave the country. So when my boss came up with that idea, I was very excited. I said, God, you are so good. We did the thing. A couple of months, we sat down, the planning, the structure, the implementation, the processes, the staff, whatever. The budget and everything. When we finished, then one Monday morning I went to work. He called me. Only to tell me that he doesn't need me anymore. I said, what? I mean,
It was just the other day I actually forgave my boss, you know. I tell you. That you know, I don't know whether you've experienced that before. When somebody does something to you and it goes very deep in your heart. Yeah. This one, it went into my bones. I mean, up to a day like today, if you ask me, what did you do? I don't know. The consolation I take is that God was watching my back. Because I've been paying tithe for many years. So why should I owe when I pay tithe? And if God really wants me to do his work, then he should take care of me so I can do his work. So my boss said, I am fired. I said, from where? Since when? Monday early morning. I've rushed with pressure to drop Lois at the daycare, drop Timotina by a nanny, sweating in traffic, rushed to work to beat the time at 9 o'clock. You barely put down your laptop and your phone and you sit down on a chair, boss man calling you. When you go, he says you are fired. Ah. This one, CNN crowd hasn't come. So he slipped the paper in front of me like that. When I looked at it, termination of contract. I said, this guy is serious. He said he was a German guy. Yeah, my first boss was Swiss. And then he left. And this German guy came. Hey, small boy. I was older than him. Hitler came, yeah. He hit black Jews, yeah. So I mean, I realized the guy was serious. I took the document and I left the office. I left laptop, cell phone, filed, emptied my drawer, took whatever, and I just went home. I mean, my staff, they were just looking at me quietly. They didn't understand why Basman emptying his thing and going like that. I went home. My wife was home. He said, why? Why have you come back? Surprise, surprise. And then she started crying. What I didn't know was that. No, I had a lot of debt. I don't remember how much. It was over 10,000 euros. Yeah. It was over 10,000 euros. What the whole thing meant was that as my boss was firing me, he actually didn't have the legal grounds to fire me. And therefore, that termination meant that the company had to settle me. We call it a golden handshake. So they say bye-bye to me. Because, I mean, I'm not a contract worker. I didn't come the other day. I've been working for the company for many, many years. So if you are trying to send me away, you have to give me a golden handshake. The gold must be shiny. So I went to see a lawyer. The amount was on the document. So I went to see a lawyer. I said, they took out what is happening to me. This amount is what they are offering to me for all the years. The lawyer said, brother, it's good money. Take it. Don't go to court. I said, no, I want to take them to court. Because the pain was very strong that time. I said, I will show these people. I will take them to court. And I think I met a God-fearing lawyer. He said, don't. If you go to court, you can easily not get this amount of money. So take it and finish it. Hey, I felt bad, pa, that I couldn't have taken them to court and let them. Hey. So I said, okay. So I called the HR. We agreed on a date. I went, I signed. They gave me my check. My check was able to pay off all my debts. Yeah. It paid all the debts I owed. And I had extra. So when that firing came, then I called Bishop. I said, Bishop, I'm ready. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. Because I can't go and work for any other boss again. The way this boss has treated me, I don't know which boss again. He said, hey, are you ready? I said, yes, Bishop. He said, oh, but why did your boss fire you? I said, Bishop, I don't know. He said, okay, I'll call you back. You hold on.
So I was there when he called and he said, Guyana. I said, Bishop, I'll go. He said, are you sure you'll go this time? I said, Bishop, I'll go. So when my check came, I went to the bank and said, you people, from today, close that account. This is your money. Close that account. I had my balance. I said, Guyana, here we come. I said, where is Guyana? Where is Guyana? It's Caribbean, somewhere there. Latin America, somewhere. Looked at the globe. Hey, South America, Guyana. Then I started, you know, reading and asking questions, looking for Guyanese to talk to, how Guyana is. I got an SDA contact. The guy works at Bank of Guyana. I emailed him. I need a place to stay. Want to come. He said, oh, he lives with his father. There's no space in their house. Like Mary, pregnant Mary. Hey, I was hot until, by the grace of God, I got some contact. But the miracle in what I'm trying to share with you is that there was no way I could have paid that amount of money. I tell you. Because the salary that is coming, when it comes, already about 3/4 of it goes into the bank. Because you're also, you have overdraft. You owe over 10,000 euros. You have overdraft. So when the money comes, before you start spending, it's the bank money you are spending. So you see, I don't see how I could just kick back from that negative point to even come to zero and start building from zero. Meanwhile, I was living in a big house. I was driving a big car. And I was a big man. A big man, you don't do that and kill debt. So there was no way. I mean, if I look at it, and white man does not give you money for free. And there was no way I could work. How many hours should I work? I already work 8-9 hours. I pastor. I don't have time to go and do extra. Even if I do extra job, the family, the children, it's so complicated. I mean, it had to be something supernatural. I say it had to be something supernatural to take me out of that miry clay. Psalm 40, I think it's Psalm 40 verse 1, I believe. Lift me up from the miry clay. I paid all my debts. We packed our things. We even did shopping. We bought soap powder. We bought bathing soap because we don't know what's in Guyana, whether they have bathing soap. We didn't know. We bought shampoo for the children's hair. This green, Switzer shampoo and bath scum for their hair. And for their skin. You see, these abroad children, we don't want no nyama nyama thing to come on their skin, right? So we bought boxes of bathing liquid soap and shampoo for their hair. Powder and cream. Switzer was a brand, a baby brand, like Johnson's. Johnson's, they have like, they have, you know, cream, they have the powder. This was Switzer, like that Switzer. Boxes like that. But match, even matches, we bought matches. Hey, if it was today, I just buy my ticket and I just come. I've gotten wiser. My wife even brought her bicycle. That Simon Peter is still using the bicycle up to today. Yeah, she pushed her bike. We rented the container. We brought our bed. We brought our mattress. We brought our bicycle. Hey! Bags, books, video cassettes, audio cassettes. Hey, we bought corned beef. We bought bags of rice, oil. Hey, we don't know where we are going. We have to prepare ourselves. Sardines. Yeah, because we don't know where we're coming. Because we are not coming to return. So we have to come proper. Yeah. So God was so good. That golden handshake paid all my debts. And then it gave me extra money to rent a container. Do shopping. Hey, buying combi. It means that I have money to spare. And even when we came here. And whatever arrangement we had. Then when you, all the things we bought it cash down. We went to court to buy our first set of furniture. Paid cash. Washing machine, from Roger. He was on Regent Street. Yeah. Cash down. Fridge, cash down. Microwave, cash down. We had bed and mattress, so we didn't need bed. Yeah. Went to the WAF, John Finance. Cleared the things. Hey! Me alone, I didn't know anybody. They brought the container, the thing on the pallets home. And we're living upstairs in a top flat. I carried everything upstairs myself only. Full container. Hey, I didn't know anybody. Soap. So I used the soap and I felt nice. But what I'm telling you is that he is the one who is able to bring you up also out of a horrible pit. No matter how horrible the pit is, as long as you tithe and you honor him, he will bring you out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he will set your feet upon a rock and establish your goings. Well, when you look at me today, you will never believe that we were so poor. Sister Coletta, when Lois was born, 7 months, CS, cesarean section, we used to walk to the hospital. Because she was premature, 7 months in an incubator, we had to visit her every day. Every day we would walk. When we walk, we go and see her. Some tiny little thing. We had to sing a song. Every time we have to sing a song to encourage ourselves. Sing a song. Incubator. She's just lying there with all kinds of needles all over her. Can you call it needles or what do you call it? Something. Needles. Then we're blessed with a bicycle. Hey! When I go to work, sometimes after that, I was doing night, my wife will come. And then when we are going, then she'll be on the bicycle. Holland bicycle is okay. Then slowly. Hey, poverty, Anita. When you see me here with my black and white and my tie, you don't know the horribleness of the pit I have come out of. You see me today driving and my wife driving. We have a nice fancy church. We got fancy children. Fancy pulpit, fancy church. You don't know where we have come from. You see my glory, but you don't know my story. Is that what they say? Yeah. Horrible pit out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. That's what God is able to do. And I see God coming through for you. I see God coming through for you and for you and for you. And for you, he's canceling your debts. He is canceling your debts, no matter how horrible your financial situation. I see the Lord bringing you out. Father, I pray for your people. I thank you for the anointing that is here tonight to cancel debts, to erase debts. Even the world, the IMF and the World Bank, sometimes America and the European Union and the people who call themselves first world, they are able to cancel debts of third world countries. How much more we, the sons of Jacob, your word says we are not consumed. Let that word, oh God, materialize in our lives. Oh God, as we tithe, as we honor you, cancel our debt, close the horrible pit, set our feet on solid ground, take us out of the miry clay. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I am ministering financial miracles right now. Receive it, one. Receive it, two. Receive it, three. In the name of Jesus. If you don't know, expect a breakthrough. Hey, God is coming through for you tonight. Receive the financial blessing that you buy a vehicle, that you come to church by yourself. You can pay the car and come. You can pay the taxi and come. Receive your portion tonight. Receive your blessing tonight. In the name of Jesus. Listen to this. When the Bible speaks of a miry clay, you may not understand it. But this is the type of clay that if you are able to take your leg out and you move forward, you go into the clay, you go deep again. It's a clay that is difficult to take your legs out of. very, very deep, sticky, and soft clay. If you take your leg out, you move one step, you go back deep again. It's a very horrible place to be. That from time again, time, month after month, your financial situation deteriorates. God is saying, don't lose hope. Just do what he's asking you to do tonight. And he's going to come through for you. I was talking to a senior pastor the other day. I remember when we were giving the offering for a canal project, I gave a particular amount very quietly. And just 2 days ago, I was talking to a senior pastor of our church, and he said, I owe you some money. I said, you owe me some money? He said, yes, I owe you some money. I'm going to find a way to send it to you. I laughed. How can he owe me money? How can he owe me money? That small amount I gave towards the canal project, within a few days, God has also come through for me. And I'm waiting to smile when the Western Union comes through. I said, he is able. He is able. More than able. To do much more than I could ever dream. Do you believe it? He is able. More than able to make me what he wants me to be. You are a project in the making. You are a project in the making. I say you are a project in the making. This is not your final point. This is not your destination. You are not going to be here like that all the time. You are a project in the making. God is working on you. God is fixing you. If he was to tell you how you are going to be at the end of it all, you will not believe it. You will not believe it. That is your portion. That is your inheritance. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your inheritances, oh God. We believe we have been lifted from that horrible pit, and our feet are already planted on solid ground. Let your people begin to prosper on the left and prosper on the right. May they, oh God, be baffled by their prosperity, oh God. Thank you, blessed Lord Jesus. I give you praise even for the testimonies. Testimonies that are not restricted only to the church here in Isla Penitence, but to the churches all across the country. Testimonies in BV, testimonies in Sophia, testimonies over the river in Denham and in Perica, testimonies all over the churches, oh God. Thank you, Father, tonight. In Jesus' name. You are here tonight, you are not saved, you are not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to know Jesus. I want God. I want God. I want more of God. I want Jesus to come into my heart and make me a brand new person. If you are here like that, you want me to pray with you, just lift up your right hand. Just your right hand. Just your right hand. Pastor, please pray with me. Pray with me. Lead me to the cross. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that tonight, a right hand up high. Just a right hand, and I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see that heart. See that? If you lifted up your hand, I'll ask you to come pray this prayer with me tonight. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner, and I come to you just as I am. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died on the cross of Calvary,
And I believe he was buried. And I believe on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he's ascended into heaven. And I believe he's seated on the right hand side of the Father. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. From tonight, I believe that by this prayer, I am born again. I am saved. Heaven is my home. I am now a child of God, and my name is written in the book of life. I thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.